Sutta Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Uttara, after hearing the speeches of Sukadeva Goswami, which were all about the truth of the self, applied his concentration faithfully upon Lord Krishna.
So the sages of Naimisharanya requested Sutta Goswami to continue speaking about the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. In the first three chapters we have seen how Sukadeva Goswami explained about the glory of Bhakti Yoga and also Ashtanga Yoga, Virat Roop, Paramatma meditation, Virat Roop meditation, what is the Dharanashraya of Dharanashraya of a attached yogi and a detached yogi, means a neophyte yogi and other better yogi, advanced yogi, so like that. So now Parikshit Maharaj is showing more interest to know other topics. So after hearing the speeches of Sukadeva Goswami, which were all about the truth of the self, he concentrated. Upadharya Matim Krishne. His enquiries were based on his concentration on Krishna. Upadharya Matim Krishne. So when someone enquires or when someone does anything, if that is associated with a concentration on Krishna, with a mood of service to Krishna, with a mood of understanding more about the glories and activities of Krishna, then such enquiries or activities are worthy. If Krishna is kept aside and people are running behind so many things and then doing so many activities, it doesn't carry that substance in it. So as practicing devotees, practitioners of Bhakti Yoga, so we should endeavor to increase the Krishna element in our activities, our speeches, thoughts, plans, all this. So Upadharya Matim Krishne Auttareyah Satim Yadhat. So he applied his concentration faithfully upon Krishna and then enquired. So his enquiries are Krishna related. Sometimes devotees may enquire about market prices, or it could be laptop models, it could be earlier recent phone models or whatever it may be. But if they are all centered around Krishna consciousness, for the service of Krishna, that's bona fide. So one needs to increase the element of Krishna in one's interactions and activities and minimize the element of Maya. So the word Satim is very significant. He's very chaste. So, Parikshit Maharaj is very chaste. That's why Satim word is used. So Parikshit saw Krishna in the womb and he heard about Krishna from Sukadeva Goswami at the end of his life. So his life began with Krishna and is concluding with Krishna, and after completion of this lifetime also definitely he will be with Krishna. The whole Vedic adventure is to draw one's attention entirely unto the lotus feet of Krishna without any diversion. That is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. So Parikshit Maharaj is perfectly chaste in devotional service. Further, he is already chaste devotee. Further, he is hearing from another advanced devotee like Sukadeva Goswami. You can only imagine how much his consciousness is imbued with Krishna vibrations. Prabhupada writes that to become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, two things are very much essential. One, to get a chance to take birth in a devotee family. Second, to get blessings of a bona fide spiritual master. So these two are very favorable and conducive for one's spiritual advancement. So a fortunate person, by the mercy of spiritual master and Krishna, achieves the path of devotional service. To be able to come in contact with this process of devotional service is not a joke. It's not cheap. Someone who has come to this path must be really fortunate. How many millions and millions and trillions of living entities are there in this world, just one world you can see, one planet. Out of them, how many are human beings? Out of them, how many have some inclination to live a pure and pious life, at least a moral life, at least. So even amongst those people, how many will have the inclination to pursue some spiritual path? And even amongst them, how many will be fortunate enough to come in contact with bhakti yoga like that? So to attain a chance to practice devotional service is an extremely rare privilege. So we are all amongst the most privileged minority in this planet. So devotees are a minority, they are not majority. So materialistic people are majority in this material world. Devotees are very meager amount, hardly 1%, 0.5% or whatever, 0.1, 0.001, something like that percent. So one has to understand the rarity. That means one has mercy of spiritual master and Krishna. That's why he would achieve the path of devotional service. By Krishna's mercy one will get Guru, by Guru's mercy one will get Krishna, by both of their mercy one will get to do bhakti yoga. Like that. So Parikshit Maharaj has both. He got Krishna's mercy in the beginning of his life. He got Guru's mercy at the end of his life. And throughout his life he lived in a Krishna conscious way. So he is very fortunate. He is Satim. So by Krishna's mercy, Dhruva came in contact with Guru, that is Narada Muni. And only by devotee's mercy one comes to know about Krishna. Even Dhruva Maharaj came to know about Krishna from Suniti. She is another great devotee. Like that. Atmajaya Sutagara Pasudravina Bandhushu Rajya Chavikale Nityam Virudham Vamatam Jahau. So in what mood that Parikshit Maharaj is hearing about Krishna is mentioned in the first verse. He applied his concentration fully upon the Lord.
No. Prabhu, you can copy one PPT, 7.1 PPT is there. You can copy in his laptop and take the pendrive.
I'll take from him later. So, Atma Jaya Sutagara Pasudravina Bandhushu. So, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, he wholeheartedly started hearing the process, hearing the messages given by Sukadeva Goswami, right, wholeheartedly, with complete attention, fixed his mind, Upadharya Matim Krishne. And not only that, one has to endeavor to come closer to Krishna, one should also put some endeavor to go away from Maya, go away from material attachments. So one has to reduce material attachments and increase spiritual attachments. He is doing both. His increase of spiritual attachment is described in the first verse. In the second verse, it's mentioned that Atma Jaya Sutagara. Atma is body here. Jaya is wife. Suta is son. Agara is his home, palace. Pashu, all his animals, elephants, horses, all the royal animals. Then Dravina, his treasury house. Bandhushu, all friends and relatives. Rajya, his kingdom. Cha avikale nityam. Virudham mamatam jahau. So Parikshit Maharaj has given up this entire paraphernalia, royal paraphernalia, and is just focusing on Krishna. Like that. So he was staying away from material attachments, and also he is cultivating spiritual attachment under the guidance of 7.1. Oh, thank you.
PPT.
Oh. So Krishna's mercy gave that detachment also in him. So in that mood he is hearing Krishna Katha. If you remember, if I mentioned in the beginning of your batch that Sukadeva Goswami has nothing to do with this material world. He is totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Parikshit Maharaj has given up all material attachments and kingdom, and he is very eager to hear only about Krishna for the rest of his life, which is only 7 days. So this detachment or renunciation from this hearer and speaker would make that combination the most effective and most exalted combination of hearer-speaker. There are so many combinations of hearers and speakers, but the best combination is when both the hearer and speaker have nothing else to do in life other than discussing about Krishna. That's why this is most effective conversation. One selects a wife for bodily comforts and result is children. So Prabhupada elaborates on this Atma, Jaya, Suta, Agara, Pasu, Dravina, Bandhushu. Here Atma is translated as body. Sometimes it is translated as soul, sometimes as mind, sometimes as intelligence, sometimes as super soul, like that. So in different contexts, this word would mean different things. And in what context, what it means, acharyas have to tell us. We can't speculate. Right? For example, I heard this from Shyamanand Prabhu several years back. There is coconut, this green coconut just plucked from the tree. So you call it coconut and remove the green outer covering. Still it is coconut. Remove the brown fiber. Still it is coconut. Remove the brown shell, hard shell. Still it is coconut, the white inside white thing. Remove that also, there is water, that is also coconut water. All these can be called coconut. Make it dry, that is also coconut. Wet, that is also coconut. Tender, that is also coconut. So in what context, what this word coconut means, you need to have some background. So like coconut water, coconut pulp, coconut shell, coconut fiber, coconut covering, like that, all these are there. You add one more word to get clarity for a layman. But an intelligent man can understand, hey, coconut love. It's a summer season and then people feel very thirsty and all. You'll say, just get me one coconut. You don't get a dry coconut for grating and putting in your karanji. Right? And for example, pujari, priest, he is conducting a marriage ceremony. Right? He will say, get coconut. Generally in traditional marriages, the bride would come with a coconut in her hand, with that Mangal Sutra or whatever, like that. In that context, that coconut has to be brought. You can't get a grated coconut. A cook is cooking something. He is making, what is that called, yellow color, some funny. What is that yellow thing? Cake jaisa dikhta hai na? Some spicy stuff. Dokla, correct, dokla. So a cook who is making dokla, he says, get coconut. You have to grate the coconut and then put so that he can sprinkle. So depending on the context, the word coconut would mean different things. Is it not? And somebody, some priest is doing some yajna, so he needs dry coconuts, which are not broken. You see, full shell. The coconut gets, inside coconut becomes disconnected from the shell. So that kind of dry coconuts are needed during yajnas and other sacrifices, right? So in that context, he needs that kind of coconut. So an assistant who is close to this person who is asking for coconut, he will understand what coconut my master is asking. Similarly, Sukadeva Goswami is saying Atma here, and Prabhupada understands what Atma means here in this context. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur understands, acharyas understand. We may say Atma is body, or kya? So Parikshit Maharaj has detached from his Atma, from his soul. No, here Atma is body. Understand? So we need to trust the acharyas. We cannot doubt the acharyas. Our intelligence may say that the meaning of this is different from what is translated here. No. So now when I tell this Prabhu, Arvindaksha Prabhu, please give me this. So he is right in front of me, he will give me pen because he understands what I am trying to ask from him. Now Sarat Purnima Prabhu cannot understand because he is quite far. So the closer you are, the more you are in connection, touch with the person who is instructing you, the more you can understand his intentions and what he wants. The farther you are, the less probability is there to actually understand what he's wanting. Right? Someone who, if I say give this, someone may hear this recording, say live, from our ashram, which is 1 kilometer far. Still he cannot understand what I am asking, give me this correct. Only the person who is live, he can understand. Similarly, acharyas are more closer to Krishna than we are. Sometimes we may not understand why Prabhupada is translating a verse in a certain way. But trust that Prabhupada is more closer to Krishna, more closer to Sukadeva Goswami than us. So he understands it better than us. So when he is translating it in a certain way, we have to accept it. Our intelligence may say something else, right? So the most important thing that a follower in a parampara has to do is to be loyal to the parampara, loyal to the teachings of parampara. Yes, we may have to present this in a way that is acceptable by the modern audience. Definitely, we cannot present things as it is, as they are, because the other person may not be able to digest it. So that's our contribution in terms of making it more accessible for a new person. However, our loyalty to the parampara, our trust on the parampara should not shake even slightly. This, the way Prabhupada has explained this verse is the best possible explanation. That we should, that conviction we should have. Then only we will be able to take benefit of it. So when we are hearing from a person, if you doubt the intentions of a person, what he is speaking will not affect you. If you have full trust on that person, then what he is speaking will have some effect on you. Simple. Then you will act on it. Similarly, Prabhupada is speaking something here, he is writing something here. If you trust Prabhupada, what the lessons that he is giving us will have some positive impact on us. If you don't trust Prabhupada, if that kind of thing is there, this will not affect. So similar, that's why different people may read this book, read Bhaktivedanta purports, but not everybody will be able to relate to it. It depends on the trust or the conviction he has on what Prabhupada is saying, on the position of Prabhupada, on the position of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, on the position of Sukadeva Goswami, on the position of Suta Goswami. Like that, trust and loyalty to the parampara and acharyas and our pure devotees is one of the most crucial wealth of a practitioner. That's our wealth. So Prabhupada elaborates on Atma, Jaya, Sutagara, Pasu, Dravina, Bandushu in his purport. So this is called material civilization of material attachment. Devotion for Lord Krishna means negation of all material attachments as detailed above. So I am a devotee, but still I want to gratify my senses in a certain way. So yes, still one may be called as a devotee, but may not be pure devotee. Definitely mixed devotional service is there. If someone has other attachments also, akama, sarvakama, ava, mokshakama, udarathi, that verse is there. One can still practice devotional service and Krishna will take care of removing those material desires eventually. However, the greatest devotees are who do not have any attraction towards material objects. They are exclusively focused on Krishna. Upadharya matim Krishne. Like that. So Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj are best examples of it. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Parikshit was awarded all material amenities and an undisputed kingdom in which to enjoy the undisturbed position of king. But by the grace of Lord, he was able to give up all connections with material attachment by the grace of Lord, right? So Parikshit Maharaj is not frustrated in his family life. Parikshit Maharaj is not tortured by enemies in his kingdom. Parikshit Maharaj is not having a bad son or non-cooperative wife or torturing ministers, etc., that he just left the kingdom. He has all facilities, he is completely opulent, all citizens are favorable, but still Krishna wanted him to quit this. It is Krishna's will that Parikshit Maharaj retired. It's not that he is frustrated. So when we enter devotional service out of some frustration on a material plane, it's not the best way of entrance. Definitely that is glorious. After all, you are entering devotional service. But when one have some, when one has something that is attracting his consciousness in the process of devotional service, then he can sustain for long. So Krishna Chandra Prabhu was giving a class during our VTA days. So one of our, that is in 2008. So one of us asked that, Prabhu, family life is filled with so many troubles, and outside corporate life has so many troubles. So then wouldn't be brahmachari life better? Like that he was asking. VTA. You know VTA, right? VTA means people who are working in outside world, they also stay in temple and then take some training. That is VTA for someone who doesn't know. Then Krishnachandra Prabhu gave a very simple answer. You should have some attraction towards the brahmachari life. With that attraction, if you join brahmachari ashram, then you will survive. If the only reason for you to enter brahmachari ashram is frustration in the outside world, you cannot survive for long. That made sense in the beginning days, 2008. At that time, you were 11 years old, Sarat Purnima Prabhu.
In the life of great souls, certain point comes that take the devotional service. Like Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, some out of rotation or some out of some material things happen and how one can understand. They may say that this is Krishna's desire or Krishna's will. They may take it positively, but certain nobody takes the kingdom is running smoothly, suddenly he did not take it. Something comes. So what do you think?
Yeah, it is Krishna's will. What exactly is your question? Different circumstances are created so that devotee can take to full-time devotional service. Correct. So what exactly is the question?
Question is, like you say, one should not take out of frustration.
That is not the best way. That's what I'm telling. Parikshit Maharaj is not frustrated. Krishna orchestrated this scene and then he just...
But when the normal condition is, he not take. He is not leave out, but something happen.
Okay.
He may not frustrated, but he take it may be Krishna's will, let me take. Anyway, I am
okay,
going to
there
die,
is no so voluntary coming out. Yeah, there are some examples like that also. Jadabharat, he had a great father from Angira family. He is being trained in all the rules of Brahmanical principles and all that. But he has absolutely no interest in all that. He was literally acting like a dumb and dull, foolish person in front of the public so that he can practice his complete Krishna consciousness, staying aloof from all these material obligations. So Narada Muni, he's a born devotee. And Manu wants to retire. He just pushed to Priyavrata, you please take the charge of the kingdom, I will want to retire. Like that. Yeah, there are some people who just voluntarily just get into it. But in the life of some devotees, some circumstances happen because of situations they may take to devotional service. You can definitely understand that they are orchestrated by Krishna. And through that incident, we get a great lesson, great message. Right? I'm just telling in a generic sense that one should have some attraction in this also. That how much it is applicable in the context of all these great souls that we can see. So, attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Krishna go poorly together. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord. And the best example here is the Pandavas. So, Yudhishthira and Parikshit Maharaj, they are all householders. But still, they were exalted devotees. So, definitely material attachments and lot of material opulence potentially can offer some obstacle in the path of devotional service. However, in the case of exalted devotees, even in the midst of all opulences, they can practice nicely. At one point, they will relinquish that also and take to full-time devotional service. There is no utility simply in imitating Parikshit and hearing Bhagavatam from professional reciters for 1 week. Oh, Parikshit Maharaj heard for 7 days. I will also hear for 7 days from professional reciter. To take to Srimad Bhagavatam as a means of maintaining family expenditure is the grossest type of namaprad.
It's
very graphic. Third verse. Paprachachemam evartham yanmam pruchhata sattamah krishnanubhava shravane shraddhano mahamanah samstham vignaya sanyasya karmatraivargikyam chayat vasudeve bhagavati atmabhavam drudham gataham.
it says, the great soul Maharaj Parikhit, constantly wrapped in thoughts of Lord Krishna, knowing well of his imminent death, renounced all sorts of fruitive activities, namely acts of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and thus fixed himself firmly in his natural love for Krishna, and shaked all these questions exactly as you are asking.
Just like Parikshit Maharaj asked these questions, Suta Goswami, Saunakad Rishis are also asking Suta Goswami. So, Krishnanu Bhava Shravani Shraddhano Mahamanaha. Here Parikshit Maharaj is described as Krishnanu Bhava, wrapped in the thought of Krishna. Shravani, in that mood he is hearing. Next, Shraddhanaha, he is full of faith. Mahamanaha, he is a great soul. Like that. So Parikshit's qualities are described. So this first four verses are actually Parikshit Maharaj's disposition in his hearing. His background, his mood. Background is he has left all material attachments. His mood is Krishne Upadharya Matihi. And his Krishna Anubhava Shravani, Shraddhano, Mahamanaha, Vasudeva Bhagavati Atma Bhavam Dridham Gataha. He has completely, with strong dedication, he fixed his attention on hearing about Krishna. Like that. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, as a great emperor of the world, Maharaj Parikshit had to observe such regulations of the Vedic Karmakandiya section. But by his slight association with Sukadeva Goswami, he could perfectly understand that Krishna, for whom he had a natural love since birth, is everything. And thus he fixed his mind firmly upon him, renouncing all modes of Karmakandiya activities. So, sometimes, apparently, devotees also are engaged in Karmakandic sacrifices, great kings especially. But what is the reason? Because if they don't do that, now general people may not be qualified for devotional service, so all these great kings should also follow some trivial sacrifices or other rules and regulations as a part of Varnashram system and all, so that ordinary people would be inspired to follow at least a cultured path, if not pure devotional service. To set an example, they will do like that. The king is supposed to perform some sacrifices. Another point that an Acharya explains, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur only, that they, when they perform sacrifices also, it's not Karmakandya. It is Bhakti Yoga only. So you say Indraya Swaha, Chandraya Swaha, Varunaya Swaha, Agnaya Swaha, all that you do in sacrifices. But a devotee, when he is involved in that sacrifice, when he says Suryaya Swaha, he will meditate on the eyes of the Lord. So he would identify all these demigods as different bodily limbs of Krishna, and all the Swaha Swaha mantras to various demigods is not demigod worship, it is a meditation on Krishna's bodily limbs. That is pure devotional service from his perspective. But externally, what's happening? Oh, he performs sacrifice also as the, according to Vedic customs, and people in general will also be inspired to follow these Vedic customs. And that's, in one sense, that is also protecting the confidentiality of Bhakti Yoga. That's what Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. Now, Prabhupada writes, this is a very grave and deep purport. He says, Parikshit Maharaj is Mahamanaha and he is beyond the purview of these sacrifices, these Karmakandiya activities. So one who is solely and wholly depending on the Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna can give up all Karmakandiya conceptions of life. Aslishyava padaratam pinashtuma madarshanam marmahatam karotva. Prabhupada quotes this verse. Then Rupa Goswami's verse also he quotes. Virachaya mayi dandam dina bandho dayamiva. So regardless of whether it showers rains or throws thunderbolt, I just, chataka bird is looking forward for the drop of rain coming from the sky only. It does not go into the ditch and then drink water like a crow does. So he is looking forward only to the sky, rain cloud, pure distilled water only I will drink, like that. So similarly, whatever comments the materialistic society may pass, a devotee is rooted in his practice of bhakti yoga, pure devotional service unto Lord Krishna alone and nothing else. So he gives the example of Madhavendra Puri. Sandhyavandana bhadramastu bhavato bhosnana tubhyam namo bho devah pitarascha tarpana vidho naham kshama kshamyatam yatra kvapi nishadya yadavakulostam sasya kamsadvishaham smaram smaram agham harami tadalam manye ki manye name. He says, Sandhyavandana bhadramastu bhavato. Oh, Sandhyavandan. The Brahmanas have to do Sandhyavandan multiple times, three times at least in a day. So, Sandhyavandana bhadramastu bhavato. Let there be auspiciousness unto you. Bho snana tubhyam namo. They have to take baths multiple times. Oh, snana. Namo. Namo is I offer obeisances unto you. All these multiple times baths. These all Vedic customs where what a regular Brahmana has to follow. Sandhyavandan, then snanam. Next, bhodevah pitarascha tarpana vidhau. There are so many guidelines how to do tarpan, offering oblations to demigods and forefathers, etc. So, bhodevah pitarascha tarpana vidhau nahaha kshamam kshamyatam. I don't have that kshamta. I don't have the capacity to do these oblations anymore. Kshamyatam, please forgive me. He's offering obeisances there. Next, if you are not offering obeisations to forefathers and demigods, if you are not doing holy auspicious baths, and if you are not doing sandhyavandan, what else you will do? He says, yatra kvapi nishadya yadavakulo tamsasya kamsadvishaha. I am completely focused on that kamsadvisha, that person who has killed Kamsa, that is Krishna, who is coming from Yadukula. So, smaram smaram, by remembering him repeatedly, repeatedly, agham harami, I will vanquish all my sinful reactions. Manye ki vanye name, I consider this the greatest. Remembering the activities of Krishna, remembering Krishna is the topmost practice I can do. So, I am oblivious to all other things. So, kan manye ki vanye name, what is the use of anything else? So this is the exclusive surrender of a pure devotee to the process of devotional service. We may not imitate. This is Madhavendra Puri's level. We are like new neophyte sadhakas. We have to do sandhyavandana. If you take Gayatri Mantra, you have to do Gayatri three times. And you have to take bath three times. And you are obliged to the society and other people also. So that we have to pay GST also. Right, I said we had a long discussion. So all this are mandatory for people, but someone who is on the level of Madhavendra Puri is beyond all this. And further also he says, Mugdham mam negadantu niti nipuna bhrantam muhur vaidika mandam bandhava sanchaya jadadhyam muktadhara saudaraha unmattam dhanino viveka chaturaha kamam mahadambhikam Moktum nakshamate managapimano govinda padaspraham Mugdham mam negadantu niti nipuna. Let all the moralists may say that I am Mugdham, I am illusioned. He is illusioned. Bhrantam muhur vaidikaha. All these Vaidika people who are attached to Vedic activities, they may say I am Bhranta. He is bewildered fellow. And mandam bandhava sanchaya. So mandam, let all the relatives consider that I am frustrated. And jadadhyam, I am very dull-headed. Let people may say like that. Then muktadharaha sodaraha, let my brothers call me as a fool. Then unmattam dhanino, let these wealthy people call me as mad. Viveka chaturaha, and the learned philosophers may assert that I am too proud. Right, viveka chaturaha kamam mahadambhikam. So different categories of people may criticize me in different ways, but moktum nakshamate managapi mano govinda padaspruham, still my mind does not budge an inch or a millimeter from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Lord Govinda, though I am unable to do it.
A devotee experiences failures in his process of devotional service. It's not that one will always become successful in his practice and sadhana and service and all those things. But still, what is the qualification of a devotee? He's inspired to struggle. He's inspired to continue. Yes, there are so many difficulties. There is a lot of struggle to control senses and then follow the principles and so many other shortcomings one may have. So for someone who is leading such a materialistic life in this world, in Kali Yuga, since time immemorial, for him to just practice devotional service in an ideal way is very difficult, at least in the beginning days. Right? It may take several years or decades also to come to a good practice. But still, what is the qualification of a sadhaka? He's inspired to continue the struggle. Right? It's like trying to walk. And then in the beginning, a small child would just try to stand up and then try to walk and then he'll fall down. Again, he'll just get up, taking support of an elder's hand or the wall or something else and then try to walk. And again he'll fall down, again he'll try to walk, again he'll fall down. But eventually by continuing the practice, he will one day be able to walk and run and jump like that. That's what sadhaka life is. So although I am unable to do it, my determination to take shelter of Lord Govinda will not be compromised like that. He's unable to do it, but still he's determined to do it. So this is Madhavendra Puri's example. So Prahlad Maharaj also said, manye tadyetad akhilam nigamasya satyam. You can read this verse. So the factual gain of life is to obtain the shelter of Lord Vishnu. So that is called vyavasayatmika buddhi. Accepting loving service to the Lord as the prime duty, free from fruitive action, reaction. So tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhajam harer bhajannavakotha patetato yadi. So like that, there are so many verses encouraging one to take to the practice of devotional service in spite of one's inability, in spite of the comments of materialistic people and so many things. So Parikshit Maharaj is one ideal example of one who has dedicated his complete existence to the process of bhakti by surrendering to Sukadeva Goswami. With this background, he is asking questions. So now we have discussed the exalted background of Parikshit Maharaj. Now let's see what questions he would ask. Very interesting. Before his questions, we have other questions.
One essential point that the qualification to become pure devotee, that two qualifications, one need to have, one has to be taken bath in the devotee family, and second that have bona fide spiritual master in your life. So
this may not be possible for everybody.
Yeah, could be less. So how do,
because birth is not in your hands.
Yeah,
but at least surrendering to a bona fide spiritual master, and a sincerity to just get a proper bona fide spiritual guide, that thing one can maintain, and Krishna will arrange. So Krishna arranged a Narada Muni for Dhruva Maharaj.
Like that. If two things are possible, then it's better condition.
Like that. Not that one who is not born in a devotee family will never become a devotee. That's not the point. If one is born in a family of devotees, it's much more favorable. Now Parikshit Maharaj is asking, Rajo Vacha Samichinam Vacho Brahman Sarvagnasya Tavanagha Tamo Vishiryate Mahiyam Harehe Kathayatah Katham Samichinam Vacho Brahman. My dear Brahman, O Brahmana, O learned Brahmana Sukadeva Goswami, Samichinam, whatever you have spoken is perfectly correct. Sukadeva Goswami has been speaking since three chapters. Now Parikshit Maharaj is saying, whatever you have explained is wonderful. And that is one qualification. Whatever Sukadeva Goswami speaks is perfectly correct. Second point, Sarvagnasya, you are all knower, you know everything. Third, Tava Anagha, you are sinless. Fourth, Tamo Vishiryate Mahyam Harehe Katyatham Kataha. Tamo Vishiryate means
this speech of Sukadeva Goswami is gradually dissipating the ignorance, right? Your speeches are gradually destroying the darkness of my ignorance. These are the four qualities exhibited by Sukadeva Goswami. Perfect speech, all-knowing nature and sinless, and ability to dispel the ignorance of the disciple. So the practical experience of Maharaj Parikshit is disclosed here, revealing that transcendental topics of the Lord act like injections when received by the sincere devotee from a person who is perfectly uncontaminated by material tinges. The efficacy of hearing process is proportional to the disposition of the hearer and also the bona fide nature of the source from which he is hearing. So we have a bona fide source of Bhaktivedanta purports. When we are learning from it, then we can ensure that this can create transformation. So now we have a bona fide source, but we also should become sincere in learning from this, like that. This combination will make the learning process more effective. Reception of the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam from professional men heard by Karmakandiya audience will never act miraculously, as stated before. When the subject matter is about Krishna, when the speaker is a bona fide devotee, when the hearer is a sincere seeker of knowledge, then that combination will create miracle. But if it is through professional people speak to get some dakshina to maintain their lives. And Karmakandya mentality hearers will organize that, thinking that, oh, if we have this katha by this professional reciter, there will be something good that happens to us, right? We will become more successful in business or something like that. With some material motivations or Karmakandya mentality, if someone is trying to hear Bhagavatam, then it will not be very effective as much as Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami's combination was effective. So like that, yasya deve parabhaktir yathate deve tatha guru. So faith on Guru and faith on Krishna will reveal all the imports of Vedic knowledge to a sincere hearer. Sixth verse. Bhuya eva vivitsamim Bhagavan atma mayayam yathedam srijate vishvam durvibhavyam adhishvaraihi. Bhuya eva vivitsami. I beg to know from you how the Lord, by his personal energies, creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to great demigods. So srijate vishvam. So Parikshit Maharaj, with all that background that we have discussed so far, he is asking about how the Lord created. That means this question about creation process and the entire process of creation described in several instances in Bhagavatam is not redundant, is not material. It's a description of the material world. It is a description of the creation of the material world, but it is not material description. So the description is intended to explain how Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the source of everything that you see in this creation. So it is a Krishna conscious question. And reading that creation process also will make one Krishna conscious, will equip one with the ability to see this creation as connected with Krishna. So Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami are not wasting their time in discussing the process of creation. Why can't they discuss Krishna's Rasa Leela, or at least Vrindavan Leelas, Damodar Leela, Mridabhakshan Leela, all this Venu Gita, Gopi Gita, Yugala Gita, Bhramara Gita, Viraha Gita, Maheshi Gita, all these Gitas they can discuss elaborately. When there is only 7 days time, why there is creation process and what is this called, universal cosmology, fifth canto. So what is the significance? Yeah, these are all very important topics. So why Parikshit Maharaj is asking like that? Because Parikshit Maharaj heard that one has to hear, chant and remember the activities of Krishna. Right, that's what the message that Sukadeva Goswami established in the previous three chapters.
So I understood that I have to hear about Krishna, but what topic of Krishna should I hear first? He says that I will hear about the activities of Krishna in relation to his material energy first, external potency. Then I will come to the topics of Krishna's activities in relation to his internal potency. So this background of hearing about Krishna's external potency would equip one with the right consciousness to understand the activities of Krishna with his internal potency. If one directly enters Vrindavan and then starts discussing all the Damodar Leela pastimes and what else, Kutranavarta Leela, then Rasa Leela especially, all this if he describes directly without having the background of how Krishna creates Purushavataras, Leelavataras, Yugavataras, Manvantaravataras, Shaktyaveshavataras, and how he is the fountainhead of all incarnations, how he creates this material universe by emanating the universe from his bodily pores in the seed form as Pradhan, which then transforms into Mahatattva, that then transforms into false ego and manifests the 23 elements, which then amalgamate to form the universal shell. And Krishna, Mahapurusha, Mahavishnu would enter that universal shell as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and fills the universe with half water, Garbhodaka waters, and manifests Brahma through the navel, through the lotus coming from his navel. And then Brahma creates the remaining 14 planetary systems within this universe, and all the demigod positions are employed, and Manus are created. So unless you know this entire background, how can we appreciate direct pastimes of Krishna? Oh, he is God and he is stealing butter? One will only misunderstand. Oh, he is God, he is dancing with other people's wives? One will only misunderstand. Or who are those people? They are part and parcel of Krishna. That is established in the first 9 cantos. If one directly goes into the 10th canto, what else he will understand? Like that. So, Bhagavatam very systematically presents the philosophy about Krishna along with the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees, ensuring that the sincere reader would not become a sahajiya. It ensures that a sincere reader will systematically understand the glories of Krishna and practice the process of devotional service and gradually develop in his consciousness to take shelter of Krishna. Like that. So now he is asking about the process of creation. First, I will hear about Krishna's pastimes with his Maya Shakti. Then later you describe Krishna's pastimes with his Chit Shakti. Govardhan Leela, then all the other Bakasur Leela and all that Leelas, we will, Gocharan Leela, we will discuss later. First discuss how this universe is created. So, same thing he also asks. Vidura also asks Maitreya. Now Prabhupada is writing, Janmadyasyataha, Krishna is the origin of creation. Otherwise he would not have inquired how personality of Godhead by his different energies creates this phenomenal world. Foolish people say that the creative energy is independent and acts automatically as electrical energy works. Foolish people will say like that. Now, 11th canto gives one example. A bowman would take a bow, take an arrow and then string the bow and then release the arrow like this. And the arrow will just go and go like 1 kilometer ahead and then pierce the heart of the enemy and the enemy is dead, right, in a war. So who gets the credit, the arrow or the bowman? Bowman. Bowman didn't do anything, he's 1 kilometer ahead. Arrow did the whole job. Who pierced the heart of the enemy? Arrow pierced. Arrow killed him. Because of the touch of the arrow, the enemy died. The bowman is 1 kilometer away. So how will he get the credit? He's not seen only. Sometimes the bowman is not seen. Somewhere hiding behind the bushes, he will just release. Why would he get the credit? Because the functioning of the arrow depends on the strength and skill of the bowman. He should have the strength to pull the string and then release it properly in a skillful way so that it reaches the target properly. So, similarly, it is Krishna who is in the background and the external energy of Krishna is manifesting so many things in this material world. So, if one thinks that this material energy, this material nature is functioning automatically without the superintendence of the Supreme Lord, he is foolish people, foolish person. As foolish as a person who thinks that this arrow itself came and pierced this heart of the enemy or hit the target without a bowman. Without the bowman, arrow will not come on its own. Directly it comes from the quiver and then does like this and then pierces someone. Similarly, external energy cannot function without the energetic personality of Godhead. That's what Prabhupada explains here. Similarly, the so-called scholars and philosophers of this world may, by mental speculation, present so many utopian theories about the impersonal creation of the universe. But an intelligent devotee of the Lord, by studying the Bhagavad Gita, can know that behind the creation is the hand of the Supreme Lord. Behind this arrow is a bowman. Similarly, behind the creation is the Supreme Lord. So, research scholars as great as Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and demigods are sometimes bewildered by seeing the wonderful creative energy of the Lord. So what to speak of tiny mundane scholars dealing with petty things? Vadanti vishvam kavayasmanashvaram pasyanti chadhyatma vidho vipashyatah tathapi muhyanti tavaja mayaya suvismitam krityamajam natosmitam. There are so many great learned scholars and preachers who understand the temporary nature of this material world. They can even convince you also that this material world is temporary, it's not worth living, you have to go back to Godhead, all that they will say. But tathapi muhyanti tavaja mayaya, even such great scholars and preachers also can get bewildered by the maya of Krishna. Suvismitam, they can get thoroughly bewildered by maya of Lord. So someone who is maybe a great scholar, suddenly the beautiful form of an opposite sex is just passing away and then he will just get bewildered. Where has this his learning gone? Sometimes some trying circumstance would come and then he would get bewildered. He would just become angry or frustrated and becomes envious. Someone else becomes successful and he will become envious. So where has his learning gone? Where did the knowledge and understanding of Bhagavatam go? So like that, Lord's Maya is so powerful that it can bewilder even most learned people also. One has to be extremely careful in his dealings in this material world. One can never take Lord's energies for granted. One can never be overconfident that Maya cannot touch me. Right? And Bhagavatam padliya, 4 bar padliya, 10 bar padliya. Right? What Maya will do with me? No. Suvismitam krutyamajam natosmitam tathapi mohyanti tavaja mayaya. Tathapi, although they are such great exalted people, learned scholars, great preachers, still they can be bewildered by Maya. That's what Bhagavatam says. Prabhupada says even Brahma, Shiva, Indra and many other demigods are sometimes bewildered. What to speak of mundane scholars dealing in petty things. Petty things, Prabhupada says. What mundane scholars are doing here are they are dealing with petty things. The scale of operations that Brahmaji does, Shiva does, Indra does, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, all these great, great managers, universal administrators of this entire cosmos, what they do in front of them, our managerial activities of managing a small department or a temple or some company is nothing. Where are we? We are insignificant like ants and mosquitoes in front of all these universal managers, and they are insignificant in front of the functionings of Lord's Maya. If they can be bewildered, why can't we be bewildered? So one can never become overconfident in devotional service. So that's why learning about the functionings of Maya is very important for our advancement in devotional service. That is the reason why Parikshit Maharaj is asking how the Lord created this material world, how is Lord's material energy functioning, please explain all this to me. Later I will understand all Govardhan Leela and other things like that. So Prabhupada further says, it's an elaborate purport. Brahmaji admits Krishna to be the supreme cause of all causes. But persons with tiny brains within this petty planet Earth think of the Lord as one of them. Parikshit did not ask his spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami to narrate Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. He wanted to hear about the creation of the Lord first. I think I already mentioned this. So those who are in control of external energy of the Lord, or in other words, those who are in the material world, must first know the external energy. Then they can come into the internal energy pastimes. So one cannot directly enter 10th canto. Yesterday we were discussing Venu Gita in the senior batch. 10.20 we discussed, right, day before yesterday together. So that's just a preview, not discussing any esoteric pastimes. But 10.21, Venu Gita, it's the beginning of esoteric pastimes of Krishna with gopis. So unless one has the background of systematically studying from first canto, first chapter till 10th canto, 20th chapter, he cannot touch 10.21. And he cannot move further. So that is a qualification that Prabhupada sets right in the beginning of Bhagavatam. The only qualification is read it systematically. Don't directly jump to some esoteric episodes like that. There is something called incidental reading that comes when someone reads in a chronological fashion. That reading is bona fide. So one may systematically read up to 10th canto, 20th chapter and 29th chapter, he may come to Rasa Panchadhyaya. So that with that background he may begin. That's called incidental reading. Right? As a part of your chronological, systematic, sequential reading, you came to that chapter. But if you directly jump into Rasa Panchadhyaya, then one will only get bewildered. Prabhupada hundreds of times he mentions that. Seventh verse. Yatha gopayati vibhur. यथा सम्यच्छते पुनः याम याम शक्तिम उपश्रित्य पुरुषक्ति ही परः पुमान. आत्मानं क्रीडयन् क्रीडन् करोति विकरोति च.
Kindly describe how the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, engages his different energies and different expansion in maintaining and again winding up the phenomenal world in the sporting spirit of a player.
In the sixth verse, Parikshit Maharaj asked about creation. Yathedam srijate visvam durvibhavyam adhishvaraha. Sixth verse. Adhishvaraha means Lord who is by the great demigods. Durvibhavyam Adhishvaraha. Adhishvara means one who is Lord, one who is controller. So demigods also may be called Adhishvaras. So Adhishvara can be applied to the Lord also and demigods also. In this context, it is applying to the demigods. Durvibhavyam Adhishvaraha means Lord's glories are inconceivable even to Adhishvara demigods. No, he asked about creation in the sixth verse. In the seventh verse, he is asking about maintenance and destruction. So, yatha gopayati vibhur yatha samyachyate punaha. So, how does the Lord gopayati? How does the Lord maintain? And samyachyate, how does he wind up? He creates, he maintains, and he winds it up. Just like a spider creates the spider web, and then he stays there for a while, and he can wind up also. Similarly, Lord also creates this material world and he maintains it for a while and then he winds up. So how does he do it? He's asking. So atmanam kriyadayan kriyadayan karoti vikaroti cha. So karoti, he does them. Vikaroti means he causes them to be done. So either he does or gets it done. So how does he actually do it? Maintenance part. The living entities are his material energies, marginal energies. And some of them, in the confidence of the Lord, are entrusted with the work of creation also, like Brahma, Marichi, etc. And the acts of creation are inspired by the Lord and to them. The external energy is also impregnated with the jivas or conditioned souls. Okay. So, Prabhupada towards the end, he says, so the one personality of Godhead manifests himself in many, and thus all diversities are in him, and he is in all diversities, although he is nevertheless different from all of them. That is the inconceivable mystic power of the Lord. He is there in everything, he is not there in everything. He is everything and he is not everything. What is this? So that is the simultaneous oneness and difference. Simple thing. Energy cannot exist without energetic. Is it not? And when energetic is there, he has no meaning without having some energy. So, energetic means energy has to be there. when energy is there, energetic has to be present. Without energy, there is no meaning to the energetic. Without energetic, there is no existence for the energy. Is it not? In that sense, both are one. Energy and energetic are one. At the same time, energy operates on its own, empowered by the energetic. So they can be differently manifest also. This universe cannot exist without the Lord. Yet, this universe is not the Lord. Because the universe is coming from the Lord, it is an energy of the Lord, it is non-different from the Lord. At the same time, the universe is different from the Lord also. Because Lord is different, the universe is different. Suppose there is earth. From the earth, earthen pots are made. So from the earth, clay comes, and the clay is put on a potter's wheel and then rotated so that pot may manifest. So what is this pot? Pot is earth only. What is the potter's wheel? That is also earth only. What is the clay before the formation of the pot? That is also earth only. What is the body of the potter? That is also earth only. So you, calling pot as earth is not wrong. At the same time, earth and pot are different. Earth and pot are same because the ingredient is same. The source of pot is earth only. At the same time, pot is not earth. Pot is earth and pot is not earth also. Is it not? This is clear to understand. Anything ambiguous in this description, we add the word inconceivable. That's why Mahaprabhu did not simply say bheda bheda tattva. He said achintya bheda bheda tattva. So you can understand bheda. Oh, it's perfect. You understand abheda also. Are, this is also perfect. And you put both of them. Are, both of them. How can both of them be possible? Totally opposite. Achintya. It is simultaneously bheda and abheda. So some statements in the scriptures are bheda vakyas, emphasizing the difference between the Lord and his energies. Some statements are abheda vakyas, emphasizing the oneness between the Lord and his energies. So if one focuses only on the bheda vakyas, dvaitavad. If one focuses only on the abheda vakyas, advaitavad. If one focuses both in the right context and reconciles both of them as simultaneously one and different, and it is inconceivable, then that is Brahma, then is Vaishnava. Vaishnava understanding. That is Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva. Nunam Bhagavato Brahman Hare Radbhuta Karmanaham Durvibhavyam Iva Bhati Kavibhischapi Cheshtitam.
O learned Brahmana, the transcendental activities of the Lord are all wonderful and they appear inconceivable because even great endeavors by many learned scholars have still proved insufficient for understanding them.
Nunam Bhagavato Brahman Hare Adbhuta Karmanaha. O my dear Brahman, Brahmana. So this Supreme Lord does Adbhuta Karmanaha. He is very wonderful, he performs wonderful activities. And durvibhavyam ivabhati, they appear inconceivable. Kavibhischa apicheshtitam, even learned scholars also cannot easily understand the inconceivable activities of the Lord. The acts of the Supreme Lord in the creation of just this one universe appear inconceivably wonderful. And there are millions of such universes. Within one universe, within one planet, within one country, within one village, some things are quite inconceivable. How did this possible? So one may wonder like that. If you are wondering about this one small thing, which is such an insignificant wonder in the entire cosmic manifestation, how much wonderful the Lord is. And that too, this whole, all these wonderful activities are orchestrated by his external energy. If external energy can astonish you so much, if a spark, if a slight glimpse of Lord's external energy can impress you and astonish you so much, what to speak of Lord's internal energy? So where is the Lord and where are we? So Bhagavatam regularly informs us the potency and the glory of Krishna. Like that. So by reading these descriptions also, we appreciate Krishna. If we read them in proper perspective, one should not minimize the position of all these descriptions, especially the creation process, cosmology and all that. To the best of one's capacity, one should try to learn. So, and there are innumerable universes. We have marked in the previous verse that he creates and again winds up. This action is applicable only in the material world. This action is applicable only in the material world because the other greater part of his creation, namely Vaikuntha world, now this already mentioned. And one has to prepare himself, therefore, to be transferred to a different planet after being relieved of the present body. So, understanding that the material world is a source of so many astonishing activities of the Supreme Lord, one should not minimize the position of the Lord, one should not neglect to understand those activities of the Supreme Lord, right? So one should study them with all sincerity and slowly develop one's consciousness and prepare it to understand the internal potency of the Lord also, his activities also. The Lord is unlimited and his activities are also unfathomed. With a limited source of knowledge and with imperfect senses, any living being up to the standard of Brahmaji can never imagine knowing about the unlimited. Right? Next. So what did Parikshit Maharaj ask so far? He asked about creation, then maintenance and destruction, and he also mentioned that it's very difficult to understand the activities of the Lord. However, if it is difficult to understand, why are you asking me? Sukadeva Goswami may question. So Parikshit Maharaj answers that in the 10th verse. Before that, we will read the 9th verse. Yatha gunam su prakritir yugapat krama shopiva bibhrati bhurishas tvekaham kurvan karmani janmabhihi. So, although Lord is one, whether he alone acts with the modes or simultaneously expands in many forms or expands consecutively to direct the modes, he is always one. So he may act in different ways, but he is one. To understand him is very difficult, he said. Now if it is difficult subject matter to understand about the Lord, so why Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami? He says, 10th verse. Vichikitsitame tanme bravitu bhagavan yatha shabde brahmani nishnataham parasmimscha bhavan khalu. Read.
Kindly clear up all these doubtful inquiries, because you are not only vastly learned in the Vedic literatures and self-realized in transcendence, but are also a great devotee of the Lord and are therefore as good as the personality of Godhead.
So you are learned. It is definitely difficult subject matter, but you can make it easy. Right? You have wonderful understanding of this subject matter. You can explain it to me nicely. So because you are vastly learned in Vedic literatures and self-realized, and you are a great devotee, that makes you qualified to explain all these facts about Supreme Lord. Vichikitsitam etanme, bravitu bhagavan yatha. You are powerful like the Lord, bhagavan yatha. Shabde brahmani nishnataha. You are nishnata, expert in this Vedic literatures. Parasmimscha bhavan khalu. You are fully realized in para. Parasmin is transcendence. So khalu, it's a fact that you know everything. So he is very difficult to know simply by learning the transcendental science of the Vedas. So Parikshit Maharaj is giving a very grave message here. Vedeshu durlabham means understanding the Lord through Vedic literatures is durlabham, difficult. But adurlabham atma bhaktau, if one goes to a pure devotee and surrenders unto him and tries to learn from him about the Lord, it becomes easy. Right? Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. Ordinarily the creative activities of the Lord are difficult to understand, that's what he mentioned in the 8th verse. But in the 9th verse he says, 10th verse he says, you are a devotee, you can explain to me easily. Like that. So, as such, there is no validity in a material conception of the Lord produced by a mental speculator. What statement Prabhupada wrote? There is no validity in a material conception of the Lord produced by the mental speculator. Because mental speculator may concoct 100 things about who is God, what is God, and then he will present. There is no validity. Vaishnavas cannot accept it. Nayad vachas chitra padam hare resho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit. They are all like vayasam tirtham. So one cannot have any clear conception of the Lord or his holy name, form, attributes, pastimes, etc. unless one is engaged in devotional service. So bhakti gives one the qualification to understand the Lord. And a person who does that bhakti is qualified to explain about the Lord to others. So Parikshit Maharaj is hearing from a devotee of the Lord. Sa veda dhatum padavim parasya durantavirya rathangapani yo amayaya santataya anuvritya bhajeta tatpada sarojagandham. So one who does favorable service, uninterrupted service to the Supreme Lord without any reservations, he can understand the Lord. Such a person can explain to others about the Lord. So Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj. Bhaktiyama abhijanati. And Prabhupada writes, why one should inquire in the next paragraph? The reason is clear. Not only that Sukadeva Goswami is vastly learned, but he was also a great self-realized soul and a powerful devotee. So a devotee by the Lord's grace is more than the Lord himself. So Lord is definitely difficult to understand, but by the empowerment of the Lord, a devotee becomes greater than the Lord in explaining about the Lord. Hanumanji became greater than Lord Rama. Hanumanji jumped across Lanka ocean. Rama had to make a bridge. Who is great? Prabhupada writes. Then Durvasamuni. Durvasamuni was unable to save himself. Even the Lord could not protect Durvasamuni. Durvasamuni went to Vaikuntha and said, please protect me, please protect me. Lord said, I can't protect. Then he went to Ambarish Maharaj and surrendered. And Ambarish Maharaj protected Durvasamuni. Who is great? Devotee. Right? So like that, different examples Prabhupada quotes, saying that by the grace of the Lord, devotee becomes greater than the Lord and he will be empowered with the ability to explain about the Lord. However, devotee is never proud that, oh, I can speak about the Lord. The very fact that he is becoming proud of his ability to explain about the Lord makes him unqualified. A serious devotee must first approach a spiritual master who not only is well-versed in Vedic literatures, but also a devotee. So, this is the first section. In the first five verses, we have seen the background of Parikshit Maharaj, his consciousness in inquiring from Sukadeva Goswami. And in the next five verses, we have seen Parikshit Maharaj's questions to Sukadeva Goswami. What are the questions? I want to know about creation. I want to know about maintenance. I want to know about destruction. And Lord's pastimes are very difficult to understand. Still, because you are a great devotee and you are a realized soul, you can explain this to me. He expressed his faith on the potency of Sukadeva Goswami. 11th verse. Suta uvacha ityupamantrito rajnam gunanu kathane harihi harehe hrishikesham anusmrityam prativaktum prachakrame.
Sutta Goswami said, when Sukadeva Goswami was thus requested by the king to describe the creative energy of the personality of Godhead, he then systematically remembered the master of the senses, Sri Krishna, and to reply properly, he spoke thus.
Iti upamantrito ragna gunanu kathane harihi. So after being questioned by Parikshit Maharaj like this, Sukadeva Goswami started speaking about the qualities of Krishna. Gunanu kathane harihi. How did he speak? Hrishikesham anusmritya. By remembering Lord Hrishikesha. So a devotee first seeks the blessings and empowerment of the Supreme Lord before venturing into doing any activity. Sukadeva Goswami's activity is what? To answer the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. Before doing that, Sukadeva Goswami is offering prayers to Parikshit. To Supreme Lord. Hrishikesha manusmritya prativaktum prachakrame. this purport is extremely important, every line is important. Devotees, while delivering speeches and describing the transcendental attributes of the Lord, do not think that they can do anything independently. The greatest pitfall of a speaker of Bhagavatam is his pride. A speaker of Lord's transcendental activities cannot become proud of his ability to speak. He should become dependent on Krishna's mercy. Krishna is giving me the power of description, so and I am describing to the extent he empowers me. Tathapi kirtayam yanga yathamati yathashrutam kirtim hare swam satkartum giram anyabhida asatim. If I don't glorify Krishna, my power of speech would remain unchaste. To make my power of speech chaste, I am glorifying Krishna. So when a speaker is speaking Bhagavatam and glorifying Krishna, he is trying to purify his ability to speak. He's making it chaste like that. It's an opportunity for one to become Krishna conscious for 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever he is speaking. So it is not an opportunity to show off one's learning and become proud of that learning. So they think that they can speak only what they are induced to speak by the Supreme Lord, the master of senses. So the sense of speech is engaged in Krishna's glorification. And who is the master of this sense? Hrishikesham. Hrishikesham anusmritya. Krishna is the master of senses. So devotee knows that such senses belong to the Supreme Lord. And they are used to render service to the Lord. So no one is free to act freely and independently. And as such, one should always seek the permission of the Lord to act or eat or speak. And by the blessing of the Lord, everything is done by a devotee. And done by a devotee is beyond the principles of four defects. So, when someone is depending on the Lord, then he can ensure that what he is doing with his senses is beyond the four defects of the senses. But if he is depending on himself, then definitely all one's activities are contaminated by four defects. Is it not? That's what Prabhupada says. Now Sukadev Goswami, from 12th verse onwards, he systematically remembers the glories of Lord Hrishikesha. So the rest of the chapter is prayers of Sukadev Goswami. The process of creation will come later. All the chapter is titled as process of creation. Sri Shuka Uvacha Namah Parasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sadudbhavasthana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shakti Tritayaya Dehinam Antarbhavaya Nupalakshya Vartmane Namaha Parasmai Purushaya Bhuyase. I offer my obeisances to Purushaya Bhuyase, that Supreme Lord who is complete, right, the complete whole. Then Sadudbhavasthana Nirodha Leelaya. So he is that Supreme Lord who performs this Udbhava, creation, sthana, maintenance, nirodha, destruction. All this creation, maintenance and destruction is done by the Lord, he says. So before describing those activities, Sukadeva Goswami offers his obeisances to the performer of those activities. Grihita Shakti Tritayaya Dehinam. How does he perform this creation, maintenance and destruction? He accepts this Shakti Traya. Three Shaktis. What are the three Shaktis? Sattva, Rajastama. Three Gunas. So he does creation, maintenance and destruction through these three modes. Antarbhavaya Anupalakshya Vartmane. Antarbhavaya. The Lord is residing within. Antarbhavaya means he exists within everybody. Anupalakshya Vartmane. Although he is there in everybody. Anupalakshya. He is inconceivable. He acts in inconceivable ways. It is not very easy to understand him, although he is so close to the heart. Who else is close to us than Paramatma? But do we have a dialogue with Paramatma every day? Can we meet him? Can we see him? So, although the Lord is closest to everyone, still, because of one's consciousness, because of the influence of material energy, one is far away from the Lord. So, the process of devotional service will bring one closer to the Lord
and increase the distance between Maya and this practitioner. So we are closer to Maya now and away from Krishna. So process of devotional service should bring us closer to Krishna and make us away from Maya. So Anupalakshya Vartmane. And when Lord accepts these three modes and performs creation, maintenance and destruction, he acts in the capacity of Brahma, Vishnu and Shankara. Prabhupada writes that Bhakti Yoga is the only process by which one can become competent to know the Lord. Because the empiric philosophers and mystic yogis cannot conceive of the personality of Godhead, he is called Anupalakshya Vartmane. Why the Lord is inconceivable? Lord is inconceivable to people who are not qualified. But Lord reveals himself to people who practice Bhakti Yoga. For other people, Maya Javanika Channa Magna Dhokshajam Avyayam. For devotees, Saveda Dhatum Padavim Parasya Duranta Viryasya Rathanga Pani. Devotee can understand. 13th verse. Bhuyo Namasvad Sad Vrijinat Chide Satam Asambhavaya Khila Sattva Murtaye Pumsam punah paramahamsa ashrame vyavasthitanam anumrgya dasushe.
I again offer my respectful obeisances unto the form of complete existence and transcendence, who is the liberator of the pious devotees from all distresses and the destroyer of all further advances in ascetics. Temperament of the non-devotee demons. For the transcendentalists who are situated in the topmost spiritual perfection, he grants their specific destinations.
So, Bhuyo Namaha Sadvrijana Chide Satam. This is a wonderful verse. Some more qualities of the Lord are mentioned here. Bhuyo Namaha. I again offer obeisances to that Lord who is Sadvrijana Chide. Sadvrijana Chide means he liberates the devotees from all distresses. Namo namaha klesha vinashanaya nirupitodara gunahvayaya. Like that Prachetas glorify the Lord. Lord removes the distresses of devotees. Sad means devotees. Sadvrijana Chide means Lord destroys the distresses of devotees. Then asatam asambhavaya. So he creates further unhappiness for asatam, non-devotees. So, for non-devotees, Lord is a source of trouble. For devotees, Lord is a source of happiness. Like that. Then, Akhila Sattva Murtaye. He is the personality of complete goodness. Vishuddha Sattva. Pumsam Punaha Paramahamsa Ashrame Vyavasthitanam Anubhrugya Dasushe. And he says that for the transcendentalists who are situated in the topmost spiritual perfection, like Paramahamsas, Lord will desire, Lord will deliver them their desired destinations. Right? Anumrgya Dasushe. He delivers them whatever destination they want. Okay? So these are the dealings of the Lord with devotees and non-devotees. Prabhupada writes, the devotees who are aware of his transcendental form render him service. Therefore, the Lord reciprocates by his causeless mercy and thus delivers his devotees from all distresses. Some of them who are specially favored by the Lord are killed by him personally, like demons. So apparently Lord says, as asatam asambhavaya. Sukadeva Goswami said like that. Lord allows the non-devotees to suffer. Right? And the destroyer of the further advancements of atheistic temperament of non-devotees. So, it's like Lord may punish the non-devotees, but that punishment also having an absolute nature will not literally make them suffer. It will only relieve them from that suffering. Right? When you say asambhavaya, asatam asambhavaya, it's punishing the demons, but that punishment is also mercy. That's what Prabhupada writes here. They are favored by the Lord by killing them. Lord favors them by killing them. Like Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, all these people.
they are killed by the Lord, but what favor that the Lord do? He stopped them to perform more nefarious activities. Oh, you have done enough sins, don't commit sins anymore. I am killing you now, so that you don't do any mistakes anymore. Like that. That is his mercy. So, Paramahamsas are generally found amongst both impersonalists and devotees, but actually Paramahamsa, according to Bhagavatam, is a pure devotee only. That's what Prabhupada says. 14th verse. Namo namaste stu rushabhaya sattvatam vidurakashtaya muhuhku yoginam nirasta samyati shayena radhasa swadhamani brahmani ramhase namaha. Namo namaste stu rushabhaya sattvatam vidurakashtaya muhuhku yoginam nirasta samyati shayena radhasa swadhamani brahmani ramshate namaha.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto he who is the associate of the member of the Yadu dynasty.
Associate of the members of Yadu dynasty, that is Rishabhaya Sattvatam. Correlate with the verse. Next.
And who is always a problem for the non-devotees.
Problem for non-devotees is Vidura Kashtaya. Lord always creates problems. Basically, in the previous verse also we discussed, creating problems means favoring them only. Next.
He is the supreme enjoyer of both the material and spiritual worlds.
That is Nirasta Samyati Shayena Radhasa. He is the enjoyer of both worlds.
Yet he enjoys his own abode in the spiritual sky.
Continue.
There is no one equal to him because his transcendental opulence is immeasurable.
This is actually third line. There is no one equal to him because of his transcendental opulence is immeasurable. That is Nirasta Samya Atishayena Radhasa. There is no one equal to him or superior to him. That is this point, third point. Fourth point is Swadhamani Brahmani Ramshate Namaha. In his own abode, Swadhamani Ramshate, he enjoys in his own abode. So these are the different qualities of the Lord. One is Rishabhaya Sattvatam. Second is Vidura Kashtaya. Third is Nirasta Samya Atishayena Radhasa. Fourth is Swadhamani Brahmani Ramshate Namaha. Mattaha parataram anyat kinchidasti dhananjaya, right?
Can we relate that topic with this statement that there is no equal to him because his transcendental opulence is immeasurable?
Why not?
Yeah. That's why he said that.
Both are same.
All right, thank you, Prabhu.
There are two sides of the transcendental manifestations. For the pure devotees, he is the constant companion. Like Arjuna and other Pandavas, Sarathya Parishiddha Sevana Sakhya Dautya Virasana Nagamana Stavana Pranama. You remember that verse? You remember? Sivaraj Prabhu, you remember? Huh? Bhulga? Huh? Partially he remembers, okay. So, Prabhupada writes that he is a friend of Arjuna and Yadu dynasty, Nanda, son of Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mata, then the friend of Sudama, Sridama, Madhumangal, like that. And this is the part of his personal features. And by his impersonal feature, he expands the rays of Brahma Jyoti, which is limitless and all-pervasive. The mundaners are more or less captivated by the unlimited expansion of the rays of the Lord. But the devotees are covered more with his personal form, which everything is emanating. Janmadhyasyataha. From which everything is emanating. Even if in the future they are able to manufacture a machine that can go to the that can travel at the velocity of wind or mind, they can never imagine to enter the spiritual sky. So, to enter different arenas, you need different qualifications. Just physical ability is not sufficient.
Now you go to see the capital of a kingdom, and there is king's palace, or what to say, the prime minister's office. So if you climb these steps, if anyone climbs these steps and then opens the door and enters there, you can see prime minister. That ability everybody has, physical ability, but how many people have the qualification? Qualification nobody will have, only the bona fide authorized people will have. So just because one has the capability, one cannot claim a privilege, physical capability. One should have the adhikar to get it. So now there is, I will not give so many examples. So here Prabhupada writes, they have no qualification for becoming associates of the Lord, either in the Vaikuntha planets or in the supreme planet Goloka Vrindavan, described in Gita. So depending on the desire, living entities are in the material world or spiritual world or Brahman. So Lord is trying to reclaim all these people through his incarnations and other things. Madhama, that is Swadhama, Natad Bhasayate Suryo Nashashankona Pavakaha. So one who is dazzled by the effulgence of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti cannot know the personal transcendence. Therefore, Isha Upanishad says, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Bhitam Mukham. O Lord, you are the maintainer of everything, of both material and spiritual worlds. Your bhakti yoga is the actual principle of religion, satya dharma, and I am engaged in that service. So kindly protect me by showing your real face. Therefore, remove this veil of Brahma Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti ka curtain, remove. Maya Javanika Channam, like that Kunti Maharani also prays. So to be able to go to the spiritual world, one has to relieve oneself of the contamination of the material world. Okay, next. Vidura Kashtaya and?
Less the Kuyo, Vidura Kashtaya and Kuyoginam says non-devotees.
Vidura is being very far from. Okay. Kashtaya is mundane wranglers. Then Kuyogina is non-devotees. Both are of the same.
Because in the translation,
in
only
one category.
One category is referred to problem for non-devotees.
Yeah, he just clubs both of them. Yat kirtanam yat smaranam yadikshanam yadvandanam yat shravanam yadarhanam lokasya sadyo vidhunoti kalmasham tasmai subhadra shravasena mo namah yat kirtanam yat smaranam yadikshanam yadvandanam yat shravanam yadarhanam lokasya sadyo vidhunoti kalmasham tasmai subhadra shravasena mo namah. Yat kirtanam means glorification of the Lord. Tathapi kirtayam yanga yathamati yathashrutam. So a devotee glorifies the Lord, that is kirtanam. Yat smaranam, one who remembers the Lord. Yad anudhyasina yukta karma granthi nibandhanam. By remembering the Lord once, karma granthi is completely uprooted. Right? That is smaranam. Next, yadikshanam. Yadikshanam means to be able to see the Lord, take darshan of the Lord, beautiful forms of the deities. Right? Yannamadheya sravananu kirtanat yad darshanat. What is that verse? Yannamadheya sravananu kirtanat yad prahvanat yad smaranat apikvachit. Svadopi sadhya savanaya kalpate kutah panaste bhagavannu darshanat. Darshanat. Darshanat is ikshanam. So if just hearing about the Lord makes one purified, what to speak of taking darshan of the Lord, seeing the Lord directly. That is ikshanam. So kirtanam, smaranam, ikshanam. Fourth is vandanam. Akrura as vandanam. Right? Tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya, like that. Prahalad Maharaj offers prayers to Narasimhadev. So like that, vandanam. Yat shravanam. Shravanam is hearing about the Lord. Kirtanam is glorifying, Shravanam is hearing. Saranvata Shraddhaya Nityam, like that, that is Shravanam. Parikshit Maharaj did it. Yad Arhanam, Prithu Maharaj did it. Naivatmana Brahurayam Nivdalabha Purnu. Prahlad Maharaj further says that, my dear Lord, when we worship you, it is for our benefit, not that you are benefited by our worship. We offer so many things in worship, right? Flowers, fruits, and other rasmalais and this, everything we offer, right? So that does not mean that Lord is getting benefited. We are getting benefited. So, kirtanam, smaranam, ikshanam, vandanam, shravanam, arhanam, all these are very purifying. Lokasya sadyo vidhunoti kalmasham. By doing all these six activities, the kalmasham, the contamination of entire creation can be vanquished. Tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. I offer my obeisances unto that all auspicious Supreme Lord Krishna. Subhadra shravase namo namaha. The devotees need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord. They can still associate with the Lord by these six processes. Kirtanam, they can glorify the Lord. Glorification of the Lord is non-different from the Lord. Smaranam, they can remember the Lord. Ikshanam, they can see the deity form. Arhanam, they can worship the deity form. Shravanam, they can hear. Vandanam, they can offer prayers to the deity. Like that, one can still associate with the Lord. And yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. Lord himself says that I don't stay in the hearts of yogis, sadhunam. What is that verse? Naham tishtami vaikunthe. I don't stay in Vaikuntha. Sadhunam hridaye shiva. I don't stay in the hearts of yogis. But yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami narada. Wherever my devotees are glorifying me, I stay there. So one is sure to get free from the reaction of sins, provided one is very careful about not committing sins willfully in expectation of getting freedom from reactions. So accidentally committed mistakes may be forgiven, but intentionally committed mistakes, you can't expect forgiveness for that. Right, out of habit or out of some accident, someone may just do like that. For example, somebody is traveling in a bus. Right? Now, seats are not there, they are standing. So, one lady is standing and then this fellow is there, just by mistake, he just kind of touched that lady and then he will immediately say, sorry madam, sorry. Then she would also wouldn't mind, and this person also never intentionally tried to trouble her. He's also fine. But if someone is purposefully trying to bother her and irritate her, then he will be put in jail also. She may slap also, taking her chappal, right? He will be arrested for teasing a woman like that. But by mistake, someone just touches in the rush of the whatever, then and says sorry, what of innocence, then nobody would mind. Nobody would take it very seriously like that. Similarly, some accidental mistakes, innocent mistakes committed may be forgiven, but intentionally, purposefully, knowingly committed mistakes are not excused generally. Hearing, therefore, is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sins. So one may hear, one may know, but unless one repeatedly hears and repeatedly meditates on it, he will not have the sufficient determination to follow it. Because the earlier conditions are so strong that in spite of knowing what is good, one may not have the ability to follow it. For that, he has to constantly bombard himself with sound vibration. Regular hearing is, that's why recommended. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, not once in a while. 16th. Vichakshana yat charano apasadhanat. Sangam vidur sangam yudasyo bhayatontaratmana vindanti hi brahma gatim gataklamaha tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna. The highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to the present and future existences, and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence.
Vichakshanaya charanopasadanat. Vichakshana means one who is intelligent, who has some common sense, who is a little wise. Vichakshanaya charanopasadanat. So such intelligent people will charana upasadanat. 1 minute. So let me offer obeisances again and again unto the all auspicious Krishna. So intelligent people will surrender unto his lotus feet. Yat charanopasadanat. So what is the quality of intelligent people? Charanopasadanat. They take shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Sangam yudasyo bhayato antaratmanah. So sangam, they completely give up attachment. They are relieved of attachment. See, vyadastha ubhayato antaratmanaha. Ubhayata sangam means attachment to things in this life and attachment to things in next life. Means attachment to things in present and in future. Right? So this is the point that the Vedic literature will say attachment to things in this life and next life, because in those days, maybe people are endeavoring to go to heaven. But here, hardly anyone thinks of heaven or hell. How do we enjoy in this life now, currently? However, there is always an anticipation for the next moment. Oh, tomorrow I will enjoy like this. Next year I will enjoy like this. A BTech student is thinking that I will get a best seat in a topmost institution in India or the world for my master's degree. Right, I want to enter IIT, IISc, like that, he will dream. Someone who has passed out his master's, maybe he wants to enroll himself as a PhD candidate in some topmost university. He may want to go abroad, or he may want to pursue some career in a great company. So there is always an attachment to current happiness and future happiness. But devotees give up that. Sangam yudasya yudasyo bhayato antaratmanaha. So they completely give up their sangam. They're relieved of all attachments to the present and future existences, and without any difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. So persons who are intelligent take serious notice of this last instruction of the Lord. So that is surrendering unto the Lord. Knowledge of the self is the first step in spiritual realization, which is called confidential knowledge. So Brahmagati, or progressive march in spiritual existence, as enunciated by Jiva Goswami on the basis of Vedic assurances, Brahmagati means to attain a spiritual form as good as that of the Lord. So we have seen Vichakshana yat charanopasadana sangam yudasyo bhayato antaratmanaha. So vindanti hi Brahmagatim gataklamaha. So if these two qualities are there, surrender unto the Lord, detachment from this material world, devotees can go to spiritual world. That is Brahmagati. If you actually see what Prabhupada is writing in the purport, can be aligned with various limbs of the verse. Right? If you just if you meditate on the lines of the verse and then relate them with the paragraphs, Prabhupada is just elaborating. Here 4 lines are there. Prabhupada may write 4 paragraphs. Each paragraph is an elaboration of that 1 line. It's all mapping. Read the purport and always try to correlate with the verse. So that's why when I'm explaining the verse, I try to say something and it's already there in the purport. Right? So that's how one can correlate. Next. Prabhupada in this context also quotes Vedeshu Durlabham. Shreya Sritim Bhakti Madasyati Vibhu. So that is the glory of devotees. So next, 17th verse. Tapasvino dana para yashasvino manasvino mantra vidasu mangala kshemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai subhadra shravase namo namah tapasvino dana para yashasvino manasvino mantra vidasu mangala kshemam na vindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai subhadra shravase namo namah. This is another wonderful glorification of the devotees and the devotional service. Tapasvino means great tapasvis, great learned sages. Danapara, great charitable people. Yashasvino, very famous people who work for distinction. Manasvino, manasvi means very thoughtful people, philosophers, right? Mantravidaha, one who is very well versed in chanting Vedic mantras. Sumangala is strict followers of Vedic principles. So all these categories of people, they get ultimate kshemam only when they dedicate their efforts to the Supreme Lord. Kshemam na vindanti vinayadarpanam. If you don't do arpan of all your activities to the Supreme Lord, there is no kshema. There is no auspiciousness. You may be doing tapasvi, tapasya, dana, you may be yashasvi, manasvi, mantravida, sumangala, but all these are useful only when you dedicate yourself to the Supreme Lord. Tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. He is Subhadra. He causes all auspiciousness. Shravase namo namaha. One has to hear about the Supreme Lord. Hearing about the Supreme Lord is the cause of all auspiciousness. So, atah pumbhirvidesreshta varnashrama yubhagasaha svanishtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. Working for the pleasure of Krishna is the key element of any activity that a human being does in his varnarashrama, like that. Dharma svanushtitah pamsam vishvakshena kathasutayasuyaha na utpadayad yadiratim shramayevahi kevalam. One may do his occupational duties very wonderfully, but if that is not invoking an interest in him to hear about Krishna, it's useless. Shramayevahi kevalam. Same message is given by this verse. Without such dovetailing, all qualities become sources of trouble for people in general. Everything can be utilized either for one's own sense gratification or in the service of one other than oneself. There are two kinds of self-interest, personal and extended. So we can elaborate on this. So ultimate kshema is possible only when there is arpan of one's endeavors in Krishna's service. Kshemam na vindanti vinayadarpanam. You are appreciating these verses, you are able to follow. Are we going fast, slow, fine, right, reasonable pace? These are all very grave prayers. Before speaking Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is offering these prayers. The speaker of Bhagavatam is offering these prayers. How important and crucial are they for our understanding? Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhira sumbha yavanah khasadaya yenyecha papa yadapa shrayashraya shuddhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namah kirata hunandhra pulinda pulkasha abhira sumbha yavanah khasadaya yenyecha papa yadapa shrayashraya shuddhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namah. Kirata Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, these are all names of different categories of people who are considered little low-born and uncivilized. Right? So, Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Sumbha, Yavanaha, Khasa, Turks, then part of old Sin, Andhra, South India, Pulinda, Greeks, so all these names Sukadeva Goswami mentions. Yenyacha Papa, not only these fellows, there are other people also. Yenyacha Papa, Yadapashrayashrayaha. So, if they take shelter of devotees, they can be delivered. Whatever may be the sinful life they may be leading in their background, in their previous lives, but if they take shelter of devotees, they will be purified. That is the glory of devotees. Earlier, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned about dedication to the Lord's, dedication of one's effort to the Lord. So here he is saying surrendering to the devotees of the Lord. Shuddhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. Purification is ensured if one takes shelter of devotees. Like that. Very beautiful verse. And Prabhupada writes a short note about each of these categories. Kirata, Huna, Andhra. You can study on your own. So, Prabhupada writes that Jesus Christ, Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. If the leadership of the world affairs is entrusted to the devotees, for which a worldwide organization under the name of International Krishna Consciousness Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of Almighty, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. See Prabhupada's conviction. He says that let devotees take over the management of the world so that people will be purified. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions. They can remain. But pure devotees are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization which is unlimitedly, ultimately doomed. These are all very grave purports. So Prabhupada says, will you become the president or prime minister or king? Prabhupada says, no, I'll become guru. Guru of that king. Guru of the minister. Like that. So devotees are into guiding. By taking shelter of devotees, there is purification ensured. So a Vaishnava is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnava, even a Kirata. Just like Mrigari was there. He was a hunter. Narada Muni made into a great Vaishnava. Jagai Madhai, they were also very degraded and sinful in their previous lives. But Nityananda Prabhu made them devotees. Lord Chaitanya made them devotees. So anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna consciousness becomes a pure devotee. A Vaishnava never accepts another Vaishnava on the basis of birthright. But just as he never thinks of the deity of the Lord in the temple as an idol. He is the Lord himself. So the conclusion is, Prabhupada writes in the last paragraph, Lord being all-powerful can under any and every circumstance accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. So surrendering to the Lord will purify a person. Surrendering to a devotee also will purify a person. This is the glory. Sa esha atmatma vatam adhishvara trayimayo dharma mayasta pomaya gatavyali kair ajashankarkaradibhir vitarkyalingo bhagavan prasidatam.
He is the Super Soul and the Supreme Lord of all self-realized souls. He is the personification of the Vedas, religious scriptures and austerities. He is worshipped by Lord Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. Being so revered with awe and veneration, may that Supreme Absolute be pleased with me.
Sa esha atmavatam. स एष आत्मात्मवतामधीश्वरः स लॉर्ड इज दि सुपर सोल एंड द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल सेल्फ रियलाइज्ड सोल्स Atmatmavatam, Atma Atmavatam. He is the Atma of Atmavatam. See, Atma is super soul here. Atmavatam is self-realized soul. Adhishwaraha, the Supreme Lord. Earlier, Adhishwara is demigod. Here, Adhishwara is Supreme Lord. See, in what context, what word means what? What combination of words would mean what? Prabhupada will tell. We don't have to worry so much. So, Trayimayaha, personified Vedas. Dharma mayaha, personified religion. Then tapo mayaha, personified austerity. So gatavyalika, very important word. Gatavyalika, nirvyalika, avyalika, these words are used. What does they mean? By those who are above all pretensions. So gatavyalika, avyalika, nirvyalika means pretenseless. No duplicity. Right? No malicious intentions. So then that is one thing. Then Vitarkya Lingaha, one who is observed with veneration. So the meaning of this verse is, he is the super soul and the supreme lord of all self-realized souls. He is personification of Vedas, personification of religious scriptures and austerities. He is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva and all those who are transcendental to all pretensions. Gatavya Likaha. Being revered with awe and veneration, may that Supreme Lord be pleased with me. Prabhupada is writing here. Those who are on the path of self-realization are generally called karmis, jnanis, yogis or devotees. Means four categories, but there is a gradation amongst them. Karmis who are much attracted by the fruitive activities of Vedic rituals are called bhukti kami. Jnanis who try to become one with the Supreme by mental speculation are called Mukti Kami. Then there are Siddhi Kamis, Bhukti Kami, Mukti Kami, Siddhi Kami, all these are there. But devotee is Anyabhilashita Sunyam. So is it too much demand? Is the Lord demanding so much? You should not be Bhukti Kami, you should not be Mukti Kami, you should not be Siddhi Kami. What Kama you should have? Only my Seva Kami. I should only desire my service. Is it too selfish? Is it too much of demand from the Lord? No. As long as one is Mukti Kami or Mukti Kami or Siddhi Kami or he has any attachment or any desires to gratify his senses on a material plane in this world, he is expressing his desire to continue in this material existence and saying that, my dear Lord, I cannot come to spiritual world. I'm not ready to be with you. I want to rot here. That pains the heart of the Lord so much. Please come back, Lord says. No. I want siddhis. I want mukti. I want bhukti. Okay, Lord feels very morose. So that's why Lord is not very satisfied with karmis, jnanis and yogis. Not that he is selfish. But they are not worshipping me. That's why I'm not satisfied with them. He's not expecting worship for his own selfish desires. He is not satisfied with karmis, jnanis and yogis because they are expressing their desire to stay and rot in the material world. We don't want to come to spiritual world. If someone takes to the process of devotional service, then he says, then the Lord is happy. Oh, you are coming back to me? I am happy. Come.
I'll embrace you. Like that. So Lord is well-wisher. Unconditionally, he is the well-wisher of every single living entity in the entire cosmic manifestation since time immemorial for the rest of eternity. No one else can love a living entity more than the Lord. And in fact, we also love Krishna more than anything else in the entire cosmic manifestation. But that love is covered by our love for so many other material objects.
So they are freed from all pretensions. Gatavya Lika. Shriyah Patir Yagna Patir Prajapatir Dhyam Patir Loka Patir Dharapati Patir Gatis Chandhaka Vrishni Satvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati.
Shriyah Pati means Lord is the Pati, the owner or the master of all opulence. Yagnapatir, he is the Lord of sacrifice. Prajapatir, he is the Lord of all living entities. Dhyampatir, he is the Lord of our intelligence also. We cannot claim our intelligence. This is my intelligence. Hey? What intelligence you have? Krishna gave you that. Like that. Dhyampatir, Lokapatir, he is the proprietor of all planets. Dharapatir, he is the proprietor of this entire world. Right? Patis, Gatis, Chandhaka, Vrishni Satvatam. He is the Pati or the master of the Vrishnis and Andhakas and all the other clans in Yadu dynasty. Prasidatam me Bhagavan Satampatihi. May that Supreme Lord who is Satampati, the Lord of devotees, be pleased with me. That is the prayer. Clear? Wherever prayers are not clear, you can let me know. I'll summarize at the end. So, Prabhupada elaborates on how Lord is the Pati of Shri Yajna and all this in this purport. So, Sukadeva Goswami is one of the prominent Gatavyalikas. Gatavyalika word Prabhupada took from the previous verse. Everyone is seeking the favor of Goddess of Fortune, but people do not know that Krishna is the beloved husband of all goddesses of fortune. Shri Rupini Konayati Charana Aravindam Leelambujena Harisadmani Mukta Dosha. In the third canto, one beautiful verse comes. How all the Lakshmis are endeavoring so hard by sweeping the floors of Vaikuntha, which are already clean, so that they can get a slight favor of Krishna, Vishnu. Third canto, 15th chapter. Everyone is seeking the favor of the Goddess of Fortune, but people do not know that Krishna is the beloved husband of Goddess of Fortune. He is Sri Rupi, he is Srihapatihi. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Sukadeva Goswami, who was completely detached from abominable sex life, discussed the act of Lord's pleasure potency certainly not in relation to sex, but to relish a transcendental taste inconceivable to the mundaners who are after sex life. So he is describing Rasa Leela, Sukadeva Goswami, how transcendental it is. He is not wearing even cloth also. He is so renounced that he has absolutely no interest in any sensual pleasure of this material world. And he is describing Krishna's dance with the gopis. Can there be any mundane lust in that affair? If it is so, would Sukadeva Goswami take any interest in that? Will Lord Chaitanya take any interest? Lord Chaitanya, you will never see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an interaction with any woman after becoming sannyasi. Right? Like that. Lord Chaitanya was a strict sannyasi. He is also taking interest. Then Yajnapatihi, Lord is the master of all sacrifices. All sacrifices are supposed to be performed for Krishna. Yajnarthat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. You remember this verse? Where? 3.9, perfect. So in third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, all yajnas are supposed to be performed, all yajna means all activities are supposed to be performed for the pleasure of Krishna, otherwise they are entangling. So, but what is the yajna recommended for this yuga? Wherever yajna comes, Prabhupada says Sankirtan yajna. So that is about Yajnapatihi. Then Prajapatihi. Then living entities are proportionately endowed with intelligence in terms of their previous activities. That is Dhyampatihi.
So like that. And one misuses one's intelligence in the conditioned life because of madness. But actually, the dhiya has to be engaged in dhyampati's service. So we have dhiya. And who is the pati of the dhiya? Krishna. Better engage it in pati's service. You don't take it. You don't steal the patni from pati. Right? He is the pati. Better engage that in Krishna's service. Like that. Next, 21st verse. Yadangriyabhidhyana samadhi dhautaya dhyanupashyanti hi tattvamatmanah vadanti chaitat kavayo yatharucham same mukundo bhagavan prasidatam. Yadangri abid, someone can read the translation.
It is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna who gives liberation by thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities. The devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me.
Yadangri abhidhyana samadhi dhautaya. So if someone meditates on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, then one can go into samadhi also, and one can completely purify oneself. Dhyanu pashyanti hi tattvam atmanah. So the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of him only according to their whims. May that Lord be pleased with me. So Krishna is giver of liberation, and that's why he is called Mukunda. The word Mukunda comes in the last line. Same Mukundo Bhagavan Prasidatam. He is the giver of liberation. By thinking of his lotus feet at every second, that's one point mentioned. Second point is following in the footsteps of acharyas. Vadanti chaitat kavayo yatharucham. So one has to follow in the footsteps of devotees. This verse comes in the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj. Yanirvritas tanubhritam tava pada padma dhyanat bhavat jana katha sravanena vasyat. Sa brahmani swa mahimanyapinathama bhut kim tvantakasi lulitat patatam vimanat. You can refer to that verse, which is very close to this verse. He says, yanirvritas tanubhritam tava pada padma dhyanat. If there is any source of happiness, that can be obtained only in two ways. Tava pada padma dhyanat, by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Tava pada padma dhyanat bhavat jana katha shravanena vasyat, by hearing about the glories of the Lord from the devotees. So if you hear from the devotees and if you meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, there is happiness. All other happiness is bogus. Like that. The material happiness in this world is so shallow that somebody was saying this. 40% of the happiness in this material world comes by passing stool. And 40% more of happiness in this material world comes by passing urine. And whatever is remaining is 20%. I don't have a Shastric reference for this. Someone said like this, but it makes sense, is it not? When the nature call is so strong, you have to urge it to pass water or stool. Like, no dhanam janam sundaryam will satisfy you. Oh, take this rasmalare. Take number. No, take this rasmalare. Take this. You can't relish it. Right? Even if someone forcefully puts this sweet in your favorite sweet in your mouth, but still you can't relish it, because that happiness is there. The real happiness is to relieve yourself of that burden of that solid and liquid coming out of the system.
right? That is the most significant happiness. Rest is remaining 20%, like that.
So here it says that the actual happiness is in the devotional service of the Lord. So there is an intimate relationship between the swan and the lotus stem. So Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja Panjarastam Adyevame Vishatu Manasa Raja Hamsaha. I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of the lotus feet of your lordship. So in this context, Prabhupada is quoting that. But the Lord is not like a shopkeeper trying to please all sorts of customers in the mental speculator exchange. There is stock exchange, there is mental speculator exchange. So in that different people are trying to get some goods. Lord is not sitting there to sell his product of happiness. The Lord is what he is, the absolute personality of Godhead. And he demands absolute surrender unto him only. Why he demands, I just explained. It's not a selfish demand. The pure devotee, however, by following the ways of previous acharyas or authorities, can see the Supreme Lord through the transparent medium of bona fide spiritual master, anupashyanti. Etam sa asthaya paratma nishtham adhyasitam purvatamair mahadbhi. So there should be paratma nishtha. You remember, you know this verse, some of you know this verse. This is the Avanti Brahmana verse, which was recited by Lord Chaitanya after taking sannyas. The key factor of renounced order is there should be dedication to Krishna consciousness, paratma nishtha, and there should be an inclination to follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas. Paratma nishtha and adhyasatam purvatamair mahadbhi. Whatever previous acharyas have showed, that one has to follow. Next, prachoditayena pura sarasvati. Vitanvatajasya satim smritim hridi. Svalakshana pra durabhut kilashyata. Samerishina mrishabha prasidatam.
May the Lord, who in the beginning of the creation amplified the potent of knowledge of Brahma from within his heart and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and of his own self, and who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me.
So may the Lord, who is in the beginning of the creations, amplified the potency of Brahma. Brahma is the creator of this world, but he is actually empowered by the Lord. Tene Brahma Hridayadikavaye Muhyanti Yat Swarayaha. That is what is mentioned here. Who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma. After empowering Brahmaji with the Vedic knowledge, Brahmaji started speaking that Vedas. And Vedas are non-different from the Lord. So Lord appeared to have emanated from Brahmaji's mouth, although he is the one who empowered Brahma. Right? He entered Brahma's heart and he emanated from Brahma's mouth. Like that. So this is the peculiar way of Lord's dealing with his devotees. He empowers the devotee, but he gives credit to the devotee. Because of his empowerment only, devotee does something and the credit goes to the devotee and Lord takes a subordinate position. Like that. So the physicist can deal only with the prakrita sound. Oh, this is a different reference. I think at some other time we can discuss about this. Four types of sound. There is audible sound, which senses can perceive. There is mental sound, there is intellectual sound, and there is sound of soul. So that, in this context, that is relevant, but we will not discuss. It's already 9:58. We have how many verses? Three more verses. Shall we complete this? You have the whole day to study. Today is an early class. Sukadeva Goswami is praying from the Lord by dint of being inspired from within by the Lord, so that he could rightly explain the facts and figures of creation as inquired by Maharaj Parikshit. Parikshit asked, please explain me about creation, maintenance and destruction. And Sukadeva Goswami went into prayers. What is the relevance? Yeah, relevance is there. Unless one has the dependence on the Lord, he cannot accomplish anything. If he has confidence on himself, his confidence will be frustrated in some time. If he has dependence on the Lord, then he will flourish in some time. Like that. Bhutair mahadbhir ya imaha puro vibhur. Nirmaya sete yadamushu purusha. Bhunkte gunan shodasha shodashatmaka. Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime.
May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the materially created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who in his Purusa incarnation causes the living being to be subjected to certain divisions of material modes, which are his generator, be pleased to decorate my statements.
So, he glorifies the Lord as one who enlivens the bodies of elements by lying down within the universe. So, bodies may be formed by a combination of material elements, but how do they animate? So, fan may be made by putting some three blades, and then there is one laddu, and then put some stick there, rod there. But how will it move? Electrical energy has to enter, right? Similarly, all the 23 elements are there, they amalgamate to form the universe and various bodies. They would animate only when the Lord induces them to animate. Like that. So may he be pleased to decorate my statements. So alankrishishta Bhagavan vachamsimi. May the Lord decorate my words with literary ornaments and qualities invoking madhurya and karuna, rasa, and give joy to the listeners. Like that he says. So when I speak, the audience should relish what I am speaking. And where will I get that ability to speak? Krishna has to give me that. So alankrishishta. So when a speaker speaks, when a Bhagavatam speaker speaks, he may be explaining things with beautiful examples and analogies and then verses and then in a way that is appreciable by the audience and they get the message in a right way. So the ability is actually given by the Supreme Lord, and a devotee prays for that ability. Like that. One will not claim credit for one's own self. So, especially for Srimad Bhagavatam, one who is sharing Srimad Bhagavatam, these prayers are very important. We have to depend on Krishna's empowerment to share Srimad Bhagavatam. One can never claim that it's my ability, it's my intelligence, it's my presentation skill, it's my quality of being tech savvy, right? It's my quality, it's my glory of adding so much masala to make it more enlivening, right? So, yes, one's intelligence plays some role, but then that intelligence is coming from the Supreme Lord. Dhyampatihi. Krishna is the Dhyampatihi. So, one has to pray like that. Why? Suta Goswami is praying in the beginning. Yes, Svanu Bhavam Akhila Sruti Saram Ekam Adhyatma Deepam Atititiri Shatam Tamondham Samsarinam Karuna Yaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasasunam Upayami Gurum Muninam. So, even before that verse also, he says, Sukadeva Goswami says that Sukadeva Goswami could enter the hearts of dull trees also and make them speak in response to Vyasadeva's call, my dear son, come back. If he can enter their hearts, he can enter my heart also and make me speak Bhagavatam. So, like, what is that verse?
ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಮನುಪೇತಮಪೇತ ಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಕಾತರ ಆಜುಹಾವ ಪುತ್ರೇತಿ ತನ್ಮಯತಯ ತರವೋಭಿನೇದುಸ್ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತ ಹೃದಯ ಮುನಿಮಾರತೋಸ್ಮಿ. ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಸುಗತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರೇಸ್. ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಿ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಸೀರೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಎಪಿಸೋಡ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ವೇರ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕರ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ದೇರ್ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎಂಪವರ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟು ಸ್ಪೀಕ್. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಜಿ ಪ್ರೇಸ್ ಟು ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಸುಖದೇವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ಪ್ರೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ರೈಟ್? ದೆನ್ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮ ಸುತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಡಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್. ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆನ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ಎ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ. ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನೆವರ್ ಬಿ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮಿಂಗ್, ರೈಟ್? ಹಿ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟ್ ಶೋ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಎಬಿಲಿಟೀಸ್. ವೇರ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಎಬಿಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್? ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ರೆಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೇಟಿವ್ಸ್. ಒನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಕಾನ್ಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ರಿಮೈಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್. ಒನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನೆವರ್ ಫರ್ಗೆಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಗ್ನೋರ್ ದ ಎಂಪವರ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಬೈ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ ಟು ಅಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಅನ್ಗ್ರೇಟ್ಫುಲ್ ಟು ದೆಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಡಿಸೊಬೀಡಿಯಂಟ್ ಟು ದೆಮ್. ಒನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ವೆರಿ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ಫುಲ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಒಬೀಡಿಯಂಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸಬ್ಮಿಸಿವ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಡೀಲಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಒನ್ ಸುಪೀರಿಯರ್ಸ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಅಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಾನ್ಷಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್. ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದೆಮ್ ವಿ ರಿಸೀವ್ಡ್ ದಿಸ್. ಸೊ ಆ್ಯಸ್ ಎ ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ, ಸಾರಿ ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ, ಸುಖದೇವ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಇನ್ವೋಕ್ಸ್ ದ ಪ್ಲೆಷರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಸೋ ದಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಮೇ ಬಿ ಸಕ್ಸಸ್ಫುಲ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬಿ ಅಪ್ರಿಷಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ಹಿಯರರ್ಸ್. ದ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆ್ಯಸ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರುಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಸಕ್ಸಸ್ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಕ್ಯಾರಿಡ್ ಔಟ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಡಿಕ್ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಡನ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ವಾಟ್ ಎ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್! ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಥಿಂಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆ್ಯಸ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರುಮೆಂಟಲ್. ಐ ಆಮ್ ಎನ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರುಮೆಂಟ್. ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇಣುಗೀತ. ಸೊ ವೇಣುಗೀತ, ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೇಣು? ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೇಣು? ಫ್ಲೂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೇಡ್ ಆಫ್? ಟೇಕ್ ಅ ಬ್ಯಾಂಬೂ ಸ್ಟಿಕ್, ಪುಟ್ ಸಮ್ ಹೋಲ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಇಟ್, ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೇಣು, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್. ಆಲ್ದೋ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ನಾನ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಎ ಬ್ಯಾಂಬೂ ಟ್ರೀ ವಿಚ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಾಲೋ ವಿತ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಹೋಲ್ಸ್, ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎಂಪವರ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಎಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಟು ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ರಾಗಾಸ್. ಇಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಾಲೋ, ಇಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟ್ ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ ವಾಟರ್. ಬಟ್ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಾಲೋ ವಿತ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಹೋಲ್ಸ್, ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹೋಲ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ರಾಗಾಸ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ದೋ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾನ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಎನ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಎಂಪವರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಮ್ಯಾಡನ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ತ್ರೀ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ಸ್. ವೆನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್ ಈವನ್ ದಿ ಡೋರ್, ಡೀರ್, ಬಕ್, ಪೀಕಾಕ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ರಿವರ್ಸ್, ಮೌಂಟೈನ್ಸ್, ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡ್ಸ್, ಡೆಮಿಗಾಡಸಸ್, ಗೋಪೀಸ್, ಕೌಸ್, ಕ್ಯಾಫ್ಸ್, ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ ಇಸ್ ಮೆಸ್ಮರೈಸ್ಡ್. ಆಲ್ ತ್ರೀ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಡ್ಯಾನ್ಸ್ ಟು ದ ಟ್ಯೂನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೈ ಡಿಡ್ ದ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್, ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಬ್ಯಾಂಬೂ ಹಾಲೋ ಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಇನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್, ವೇ ಡಿಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ ದಟ್ ಎಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಟು ಮ್ಯಾಡನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ತ್ರೀ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಸಿ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಟು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಎನ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಎ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಶುಡ್ ಫೀಲ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಎನ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ದ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆಸ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೂಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಸಕ್ಸಸ್ಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಕ್ಯಾರಿಡ್ ಔಟ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಡಿಕ್ಲೈನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಡನ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. ಡನ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್, ಯು ಓನ್ಲಿ ಡೂ ಇಟ್. ಯು ಓನ್ಲಿ ಗೆಟ್ 50 out of 50 ಮಾರ್ಕ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಎಕ್ಸಾಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಇಟ್, ರೈಟ್? ಯು ಓನ್ಲಿ ಡೂ ಪ್ರಸಾದಂ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫರ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕಿಚನ್ ಟು ಯುವರ್ ಗೋವಿಂದ ವಿಲ್ಲಾ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಇಟ್, ರೈಟ್? ಯು ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಮಿಲ್ಕ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಫಾರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಇಟ್. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಯು ಓನ್ಲಿ ಟೈಪ್ ಸಮ್ ಡಾಕ್ಯುಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್. ವೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಪಜಿಲ್? ಆತ್ಮವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರಭು, ಹಿ ಮೇಕ್ ಸಮ್ ಪಜಿಲ್. ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಭಾಗವತ್ ಪ್ರದೀಪಿಕಾ ದರ್ ಪಜಿಲ್ ವಾಸ್ ದೇರ್, ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಮೇಡ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಮ್. ಯು ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಇಟ್. ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಸೇಸ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್, ಐ ಗಿವ್ ಯು ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್. ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ಸ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಟು ಆತ್ಮವಿದ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರಭು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶರತ್ ಪೂರ್ಣಿಮಾ ಪ್ರಭು, ಬಟ್ ಯು ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಟೇಕ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್. ದ ಗಾಡ್ಲೆಸ್ ಏಥಿಸ್ಟ್ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಆಲ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್. Godless atheists will take credit, devotees don't, not knowing that even a blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of the Supreme Spirit, the personality of Godhead. Okay, the beautiful arrangement behind all material manifestations is therefore made possible by the energy of the Lord, and the individual living entity can only pray to the Lord to understand it properly. 24th verse. Namastasmai Bhagavate ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ವೇಧಸೇ
papurgnanam ayam saumya yanmukham buruhasavam.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of Vasudev, who compiled the Vedic scriptures. The pure devotees drink up the nectarian transcendental knowledge dropping from the lotus-like mouth of the Lord.
After offering obeisances to the Supreme Lord, he is offering obeisances to Vyasadev. Namastasmai bhagavate vasudevaya vedhasi papur jnanam ayam somya yan mukhamburu hasavam. So may that Vyasadev bless me, the incarnation of Vasudev, Vasudevasya vedhasi. He compiled the Vedic literature, he taught me this Bhagavatam, so let me speak that Bhagavatam now. Vedhase is compiler of the system of transcendental knowledge. Such music, dance and decorations enjoyed by the Lord are certainly not anything mundane. Okay, last verse. Etat evatma bhurajan naradaya vipruchhate vedagarbho abhyadad sakshad yada hariratmanah. My dear King, Brahma, the firstborn, on being questioned by Narada, exactly apprised him on this subject. And it was directly spoken by the Lord to his own son, who was impregnated with Vedic knowledge from his very birth. So, till 24th verse he offered prayers. The 25th verse is that he quotes the conversation between Brahmaji and Narada Muni. To answer the questions asked by Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami is quoting Brahmaji. So we can ensure that our answer to any question is correct, provided we have a reference, bona fide reference from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some pure devotee has spoken like that. Referenceless speaking is concoction. Of course, one has honest contemplation, devotional contemplation on things. He has his realizations, he can definitely share the practical application part, but that has to be originated from the teachings of acharyas. One can read between lines, although it is not mentioned there, one can read between lines in line with the parampara, like that. So not everything that we speak may be present in a written form somewhere, but it is that understanding has source in some written scripture or some spoken understanding by an acharya, by a pure devotee, like that. So one should have a reference. So as soon as Brahma was born from Vishnu, from the lotus of Vishnu, he was impregnated with Vedic knowledge, and therefore he is known as Vedagarbha. So one who hears these messages and tries to assimilate them gets perfect information of the material creation. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, yes, I will summarize. Correct. Yeah, I'll summarize.
He gives a lot of prayers in Sukadeva Goswami for a practitioner, for a sadhak. So actually, how to, you know, and take the principle, you know, I would say, derive some principle to them, you know, adapt in life. So, doing the living and Bhagavatam, or also so meditating each and everything without, you know, diverting.
Fine, I'll summarize. So in the 12th verse, the first verse of his prayers, he mentioned, Subodhini, you can give me. There, the summary is given in a more crisp format. So Sukadeva Goswami is offering obeisances to the Lord, who is Anupalakshya Vartmane, so who is residing on in all living entities, yet inconceivable. So first he generally mentioned like that. Then 13th verse he said he is the destroyer of all devotees, destroyer of sufferings of all devotees, and liberates the non-devotees also. Then 14th verse he said how he is Rishabhaya Satvatam. He associates with the Yadus and is a problem for non-devotees. He is the enjoyer of material and spiritual worlds. So many times in prayers you may see some links and connections. Here it's like
enumeration of various qualities and attributes of the Lord. You may not find a smooth flow in terms of connecting each verse. Right? Yeah, there are some connection, but it's like enumeration, list of Lord's glories. Then he mentioned this yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam. So how the all auspicious Lord Krishna, his glorification, remembrance, audience, prayers, etc. are very effective in cleansing one's sinful activities. Then in the 16th verse we have seen how people, when they are very wise and intellectual, when they surrender unto the Lord's lotus feet, when they give up the attachment to this material world, they will attain Brahmagati. Brahmagati is the spiritual world. Then tapasvino dana parayashashvino comes. It is all auspicious. Dedicating one's efforts to Krishna's service is the crucial aspect of all activities. Then the shelter of devotees can purify even Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, all these people. So may that Lord be pleased with me. So 12 to 18, he offers obeisances to the Lord by enumerating various glories of the Lord. So 19 to 23, he requests the Lord to be pleased with him. And that request is accompanied by highlighting one attribute of the Lord. May the Lord who is so and so be pleased with me. Like that. So he is the super soul, he is the supreme Lord, Adhishwara, and all these are mentioned. He is the protector of prosperity, sacrifice, citizens, etc. Sriyampati, Yajnapati, Prajapatir. He gives liberation. He empowered Brahmaji to understand mantras. So if he empowered Brahmaji, so may he also empower me so that I can speak his pastimes. And he enlivens the material bodies of everybody. So now let him decorate my words with literary ornament so that I can speak Bhagavatam in a relishable way to people. Then finally he offers obeisances to Vyasadeva. Thank you.
One small inquiry.
Yes, Prabhu.
Sorry for later.
Yeah, please tell me.
Yeah, like you say, he quoting here Narad Muni's conversation with Brahmaji. In so many places of Bhagavatam, you see, whenever even the great souls, Mahajans ask questions, they quote some other conversations, and like Vasudeva asked Narad Muni, he said Narada.
They quote Niminavyakendra Samvad, correct.
So many, even Lord also quotes some rishis. Then how can we understand? All the knowledge should come from the Lord, and then Mahajanas, even Mahajanas.
Are you setting an example that you should have a bona fide authorized reference before speaking? Even Bhagavad Gita also Lord quotes, right, somewhere? Like that. He's setting an example. Brahmaji is setting example. Narada Muni is setting example. Vyasadeva sets example. Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami, all are setting examples.
Producer of that, everybody quoting one another. Means he is not saying like his own, he is setting.